November 16, 2022, it's the Watt for Pedro Show.
Thank you.
for Pedro show. Might as well mute that. 21 years, 6 months doing this fucking show and still blowing. Yeah, happy fucking Wednesday. You can tell I'm not man alone because those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention. I got Casper Sonnet, Portland, Oregon. Welcome aboard, Casper.
Yeah, what's up, man?
We got to give credit to Dom for making the connect.
Yeah, Tom Jill, man, he is a very talented, out there guy.
Beautiful,
really
man.
Fun working with
Beautiful
him.
Beautiful, man. We started the show off with Nutty, live at the Five Spot, 1957, Thelonious Monk, John Coltrane.
Yeah.
Tenor sax. And we had Casper Sonnet, for Life in Silo. Casper, please bring your earliest musical recollection.
My earliest musical recollection, I think, was playing with the dial on an AM radio, transistor radio, when I was like maybe like 4 or 5 and just entranced by all the weird sounds I can get out of the radio.
And where was this?
It was in Tri-Cities. It was in Kennewick, Washington, southeastern Washington.
And was there any instruments in this pad you grew up in?
Yeah, man. My mom was musical. I grew up Mormon. She was a part of the choir there. I'm no longer Mormon, of course. But growing up, yeah, very musical family, lots of show tunes and stuff. There was a piano in the house and everything.
And did you jump on that? Number two, did you have to go through the piano lesson?
No, man. My mom was like she pretty much kind of like supported us children kind of choosing what we want, you know. And I did jump on the piano later after being obsessed with the radio and like tape recorders and stuff. I did mess around on the piano and I kind of was more stuck playing with the sustain pedal than I was sometimes playing the notes.
What was the first record you bought with your own money?
I think that would be Iron Maiden, Seventh Son of a Seventh Son.
And what was the first gig you saw?
Alice in Chains, Dirt. It was right before Lane Staley died.
So, West Side of the Mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah. In school, marching band or the choir, you were in the...
Nah, man, I didn't do any of that stuff. I kept to myself, even though I got along with everybody.
Your ma sang in church, but you did.
No, man, no, I left the church when I was 13.
Because a lot of cats in the old rock and roll days actually learned how to sing in church.
Yeah, I didn't do that. I definitely sang a lot. I definitely sang along to Iron Maiden and tried to imitate Bruce Dickinson's voice, and I have to say I was pretty spot on it.
What about using England slang like that too? I hear guys say top shelf and good on you. Or is that Australia?
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess the main goal is just trying to fucking communicate. Well, what about after school? Not graduation, but in the afternoon. Any bedroom band, basement band, garage band?
Yeah, no, man. Like when I started leaving high school is kind of when I started picking up alto saxophone and got into the music of Ornette Coleman and John Zorn. And I got into a band when I left high school. I moved to Bellingham, Washington, and I joined this weird psychedelic funk band called Roscoe P. Soul Train.
Was it because of that? You know, there's an album John Coltrane put out called Soul Train. One of his early...
No, man.
Yeah, it's one of
his
early...
It was a play on words.
No, but I'm just saying, there's an early... I'm just telling you, there's an early prestige record.
Oh, yeah.
John Coltrane under his own name called Soul Train. And why were you in that town? Because of the college?
Yeah, this is Western Washington University. I didn't go to school there, but I lived with college people who are going to college. I'm just a high school graduate.
No, I played gigs there, and that's how I know about that. And so getting ready to get in this band, you were on the alto before you got to Bellingham?
Yeah, I was in the alto transcribing some of the solos off of Ornette Coleman's soundtrack.
No, I want to get into this. Casper, I want to get into this. What turned you on to saxophone, period?
I would say actually Ornette Coleman.
Like somebody played your record or you found this record
on
your own?
No, I watched the David Cronenberg Naked Lunch movie, and when the credits opened, it was Ornette Coleman playing, and I was entranced. I was obsessed.
So it was from actually seeing a horror movie?
Yeah.
Okay. And so you see Ornette, you never heard of this guy before?
I did through John Zorn. John Zorn would talk about him in some of the liner notes. I always read liner notes.
Naked City,
but also Spillane. He talked about Ornette Coleman in the liner notes of Spillane.
Well, he's an alto player.
Yeah, he is. I was very obsessed with him.
But so was so was Charlie Parker.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, John Coltrane at first was alto. It was playing with Eddie Cleanhead Vincent.
John is great. John is so fucking great, man.
To And then he went up a notch higher that, right? The Soprano and
yeah.
stuff. But let's get back to this band. Do you remember the first gig you did? No, the one that had Soul Train in the name. Did you remember the first gig you did? Well, how did you get in that band?
It's just with roommates, man. Just roommates formed the band, and I just got in there.
Let's back up a little. I didn't finish up with that Cronenberg. Mr. Cronenberg, you see in his movie that title. So do you go and go buy a saxophone, or do you try to meet some people who play, or what?
No, man, I'm kind of a hermit. My dad rented an alto saxophone, and I just studied them by myself in my room.
Oh, so right away, did you know what he was playing? Oh, yeah. You knew it was alto? He played some plastic chords.
Yeah, I did. I did know it was alto. Yeah, because I'm familiar with its range.
Yeah, yeah. Cat and Ball Ireland, great alto cat.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
Yeah. Had the chops for sure. We lost him too young. So, do you remember the guy you took lessons from?
I only took one lesson, and that lesson was on how it was notationally transcribed. And when I found out that it wasn't in C, I was very sad.
B flat?
E flat, yeah.
E flat.
I think.
Tenor I know is B flat.
Yeah, it's E flat. Yeah, E flat.
Okay. So that would be a fifth if it's to be okay.
Yeah,
well,
I was so
bummed. You know, there are concert saxes, though. There's concert trumpets, too, but they don't
sound yeah.
that. I think John Philip Sousa, that shit kind of music, used it.
Yeah, my grandfather had one.
You know, the transcribing thing is a trip, because Joe Baiza, you know, Sacred Trust guitar player, he gets in a band. He's really a visual artist, but because of this punk thing in the 70s, everybody's joining bands, and within a couple years, he's transcribing Charlie Parker solos for the guitar.
Wow.
So is that kind of your trajectory? You're actually taking, because the way Ornette don't play a lot of changes, he's doing, everybody's got their own melodies going, right?
Yeah, he's just a bluesman that just kind of moves around freely.
Right, so you would learn his heads?
Yeah, I would learn the heads, but I would study some of the solos, but it was just mainly the Naked Lunch soundtrack itself. I was just obsessed with that particular soundtrack. I had the Atlantic recordings, and I did listen to those quite a bit, but I transcribed the soundtrack. I bought a CD of the Naked Lunch soundtrack and transcribed over half, if not most, of the solos by ear onto the saxophone.
Yeah, because you don't really have a band to jam with, right? So you're jamming with recording.
I have nobody. I'm like in the fucking desert. Nobody knows who John Zorn is. I wore out three cassettes of John Zorn's
Torture Garden. How did you find out about
pick up truck in high school.
Casper,
no one understood what I was doing.
Casper, how did you find out about John Zorn?
I found out about John Zorn's a huge player in this, man, because I found him in when I was a freshman in high school in the middle of nowhere. This is before streaming. I had to special order stuff. I hopped a ride to Seattle, Washington, and I went into Tower Records, and I found out about John Zorn through Mike Patton and Faith No More when I was in junior high, and also because he produced the Mr. Bungle record, and I was like, who the hell is John Zorn? And I found him. I found Naked City. I bought it on a whim.
You were a Mr. Bungle fan before you knew about John Zorn.
Oh, yes. I almost back then, I thought they sold their soul to the devil to make that record. It was so genius at that time.
I've had the bassman on the show.
Trevor Dunn. Yeah.
Great cat.
He's cool, dude.
New York
great guy.
New York City can really play. I seen him with one of Mike Patton's dealios. It was at a soccer stadium in Sao Paulo, I think. They had Terry Bozzio on the drums.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and Buzz was on guitar. I think it was Fantomas.
Yeah, Buzz, yeah.
I want to play this thing that you did with Adrian Snyder that you sent me.
Yeah, word. We'll be right back.
miss the good old times when girls would ask what car you drive, leave you with a hole in your heart. And all that's past is 30 years, and I've slowly grown into my ears. That girl is a number on a chart. But the good old times are gone, the clock's never wrong, so dance with me all night long. The good old times are gone, the clock's never wrong, so dance with me all night long. There's nothing more boring than a celebrity story. Empty laughs purchased with gold. I ate the eyes of a fish, and it became the new dish. And I drowned and met the Lord. But the good old times are gone, the clock's never wrong, so dance with me all night long. Good old times are gone, the clock's never wrong, so dance with me all night long. The good old times are gone, the clock's never wrong, so dance with me all night long.
The darkness from my soul before I lose control. See, I've been stuck here all alone, and I don't have a place to go. Rip out the darkness, rip out the darkness. Rip out the darkness from my brain. It's kinda going insane. It's getting weirder every day, and I don't know who to blame. I don't know who to blame. I've been listening to the news, and it makes me feel feel used. Rip out the darkness, rip out the darkness. And all I really can
in your room. Down that avenue, you came on my roof. You called out me. Use all I had to see.
Pedro Show, start off that chunk with Adrian Snyder and Castor Sonnet doing an excerpt from Effluvious Supper. After that, from Iowa City. Iowa. They got the Quad Cities in there, the corner with Illinois, right? The Ashton Brothers for a little while, that's one of them. Davenporters. Dignitary, that's Sam Locke Ward with Bob Bucko Jr. Then Tim Hill. His latest record, The Clock's Never Wrong. Brand new from out of Texas, Garrett T. Capps in Nassau County. Rip Out the Darkness. Mike Molnar, The Lamprey at Dawn. Tom Bloom, this is brand new. Improvisation number 2 for Lafayette Park in San Francisco. David Gerard from his new album. And this tune's Machine Learning. And finally, Castor Sonnet with Sweet Dreams. So, you meet these guys in you move to Bellingham. You get in it's your roommate situation. That's the connect for this musical situation?
Yeah, I had some roommates. It didn't last long, and then I joined another band that actually kind of went somewhere.
But that band, what's important, though, maybe it was your first gig?
I don't remember where I played with that funk band. I don't necessarily have a very good memory of the past.
But did you play gigs before that?
I mean, that was like my first live show, really, was with that funk band.
And you can't remember it. Okay.
No.
Now I'm thinking outdoor players, Tom Scott. One guy, David Sanborn, right, he had a radio show, a TV show, Sonic Youth were on. That it's that little, if you remember police shows from the 70s, the soundtrack, right? Tony Blake, right? Beretta? Keep your eyes on the sparrow.
Yeah, I love Beretta. Beretta's fucking amazing.
But that's what they would do, right? Like, there was the basically yeah. Irvitz Army, too. This kind of clip, little alto playing. David Bowie did that in his kind of soul music kind of version.
That's right, he did.
Yeah, so I'm wondering, right, Golden Years, and then when with John Lennon, where they borrowed a Jim Brown lick, Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
I think it's a one-part tune. I like those. One part two.
Oh yeah.
So this band don't last long. What's the next musical situation you get into, Cass?
I go into before I move away from Bellingham in '99. I joined this band called Eureka Farm that got on Stone Gossard's label Loose Groove, and I did the record with them called The View, and they were called Eureka Farm.
Who? There's some buddies of theirs I played with that had a sax guy. What was his name? Screech or?
Scarrick.
You also helped Les Claypool out. Yeah, I think it was called Critter Buggin.
Yeah, Critter's Buggin. He's still doing shit. I like this band called Crack Sabbath that he did. That was pretty cool.
But is Stone and that anything to do with that stuff? No. Okay.
No, Stone Gossard wasn't really involved with Scarrick's projects.
No, but your project, the one you got involved with.
Oh, no, no. Like, with Eureka Farm, we were label mates with Queens of the Stone Age before they got there. We almost were label mates with Frank Black. But it was kind of an unsuccessful run. They didn't do a very good job on promotion, and the band just kind of flopped.
Did you get, you know, them being in Seattle, you played more than Bellingham. Or were they
in
Bellingham?
Yeah, I played in Seattle. Yeah, I played in Seattle quite a bit, yeah.
A Seattle band. But did you guys tour?
Yeah, we did. We did a West Coast Midwestern tour.
And those I-5 tour, right? So that's like your first—that's your first touring and stuff.
Yeah, that was in '99. I was around '99. It was my first actual tour. It was kind of brutal. It was really hard for me.
But you being your first one, weren't you a little excited?
Yeah, I was definitely super excited. Okay. I mean, I had a good time overall. It was definitely a learning experience.
If you call tour more than a month, I just did my 67th one.
Jesus, dude. Yeah, I mean,
Only 67 more to go. You can make it happen, Casper. So what happened?
Thanks,
you said there wasn't good promotion. Does,
yeah,
does the band
yeah,
end up
the
breaking
band,
up?
The band fell apart. Yeah, the band kind of fell apart. The drummer was Jason McGurr, and Jason went to go be the drummer for Death Cab for Cutie, and then I followed the lead singer, the songwriter, to Moscow, Idaho.
Whoa, that's way up north.
Yeah.
And a lot of gigs there?
Not particularly.
I drove through, was I-94, and yeah, whoa. There's that pass when you're going into Washington State. You know, it could be August and it snowed out.
Yeah, that's when I went from, like, being obsessed about jazz music and then straight into contemporary classical composition and chamber ensembles and things like that. I started to dissipate from the saxophone a bit.
Yeah, I was going to say, because there ain't a lot of, they don't, something about the timbre or there's something.
No, like, it was monophonic. It wasn't polyphonic.
No, but they got trumpets and shit, but they don't let them in the symphonies. There's something about the way the notes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I did use the saxophone in a compositional way. Like I did all these like strange, weird pieces, these improvisational pieces at the university there, University of Idaho. I did a four-track. Sorry?
While you were in Moscow, you were doing higher education with music.
No, I was still – I'm primarily self-taught. I just basically lived and worked at a Euro restaurant and just kind of like spent most of my time in the practice rooms at the school. I've never – had a formal education of always gleaned off of everyone else.
Yeah, but that's kind of a classroom. It's more of like a do-it-yourself. That's all right.
Yeah, very DIY. I'm very DIY.
There must have been cats in those prac rooms that were going to school, and you could get stuff off them maybe.
No, I just used it as a place to
compose,
and I would see some. I would see some performances. It was very open back then.
But were you like more man alone?
I was very man alone because I kind of knew what I wanted, and I was studying Legati and Kurtag and Feldman, and I just kind of knew what I wanted, even though I didn't understand. Even though I was grappling and trying to teach myself composition and how to write on staff and all that kind of thing, and how to orchestrate.
Yeah, but you know, like, for example, you know, I'm on my sixth John Coltrane bio now, and there was periods in his life where he had to join R&B bands. He said the less you play, the more they like it. So you didn't really have to do that, right? You're going to hold out for your music.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting.
You know what I mean? Like, for a while there, maybe ska was just ending. Remember, the guys in brass could finally be in rock and roll bands when that ska thing hit for a few years with the Warped Tour.
Yeah. I just want to mention one more sax player that was very important to me.
Bring it.
Kind of was my bridge into the contemporary world was Eric Dolphy.
Oh,
I was very, very, towards the end of my jazz obsession, and I was just so obsessed
now,
with Eric
you
Dolphy.
Know, he was from Watts down here in SoCal, and his father built him a prac pad in the backyard. He did alto, bass, clarinet, and flute. In the pictures you see John Coltrane playing flute, that's his mom, because he didn't know he was a diabetic, you know, and he...
Yeah, he didn't know that. And bittersweet, it's fun to tell you, I was born in Los Angeles.
Ain't that a trip? So, okay.
Third generation okay. Angelian, technically.
Okay, well, then you share that with Eric Dolphy. He's a junior, too. But, you know, he was a huge friend to John Coltrane. And he arranged for Brass, the first Impulse album. And,
that's right.
You know what he said his biggest inspiration was? Birds. He liked listening to birds.
Just like Messiaen.
Totally. So, okay, how long are you in Moscow, Idaho?
I was in Moscow for a year, and then I moved to Portland, Oregon in 2000.
Okay. Have you been there ever since?
I've been in Portland ever since. However, I did do a very short stint in Los Angeles.
Which is the original hometown.
It is. It was good to be there, man. I miss it. It feels like home. But it's also like the southeastern desert in Washington because it was half Latino, half white. So it reminded me of home.
I say even more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's right. I live in Pedro, San Pedro. Yeah. But the cats who live here.
Pedro. Yeah.
Even the Latin guys say Pedro. I think it's like a test because if you say Pedro, we know you've never been here. They told me it came from. Well, I came here when I was nine from Virginia, so I'm not really from here. But what they told me was I've been here 56 years, almost.
So the Minutemen was from Virginia.
No, not really. Watt as a boy was, but D. Boone as a boy was from Napa, California. George Hurley as a boy was from Brockton, Massachusetts. Actually, none of the Minutemen are originally from Pedro. We all come here as boys because of the work, our fathers, right? But anyway, what they told me they fucked up the pronunciation because 100 years ago, a lot of the sailors were Scandinavian. They didn't know the pronunciation, so that's where it goes. But it's kind of a litmus test because if you do hear Pedro, it's like, well, you know, it's like seeing a... flash your lights on a car, your mind just goes, right? Hombre. Yeah, Cuidado. Look, we're at the end of the first hour.
Yeah.
November 16, 2022 edition of the Walk for Pedro Show. Special guest, Casper Sonnet. Hold tight for hour two. November 16, 2022. It's the second hour of Walk for Pedro Show.
Slipping on and off that shoe. If we're gonna
Pedro Show. Start off the second hour with Casper Sonnet doing for DF. Sam Bennett out of Tokyo, originally from Birmingham, with Not Like the Other Boys. Noisuko with Fetish Number 1. Headboggle, East Bay City. Sock Hop, and finally, Casper Sonnet with Equestrian Side B. So with the caballos. Okay. So when you go from Moscow, Idaho to Portland, Oregon, you're fired up with sex. You're all been listening to Eric Dolphy. You've been working in the prac room at the school. And what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
Do you try the roommate connect? Or is there kind of paper? We had this thing here called the Recycler where you would get them on Thursdays and people would put free ads. And that's how a lot of connects were made.
That's when everything kind of started to shut down. And then I kind of vanished for a while.
Whoa. No music.
No, I mean, I did music, but at that time I was just doing only like composition and just kind of learning orchestration and teaching myself how to work with other players and stuff. And so yeah, maybe I was musically active, but I wasn't doing any performances really.
What about home recording?
I didn't do that much home recording. I did have a friend who had a 4-track who helped me record one of my pieces. Oh, and I was in a very small little project with my friend Armand Bond, who was the creator of Eureka Farm, who eventually moved to Portland, Oregon after Moscow, Idaho. He was the guy I followed. And we started a band called The Misadventures of Two. And so it was just a little duo, and we were just writing songs together.
Now, you're saying this is early 2000s?
Early aughts, yes.
So, and you're saying Portland was kind of shutting down. You know, it was a one-club town when Minutemen first started touring. There was only...
It was.
What was it called? Satyricon. This guy named...
Satyricon.
Named
yep.
George. He looked totally like Carlos Santana when he was young.
We played there, man. We played there with Eureka Farm back in the day. That was a trippy... That was a cool club, dude.
D-Boom went through the deck. He kept playing up to his armpit.
Oh, no shit.
But I tell you what, it was a trip for us at that gig. It was the early 80s, and the Wiper guy, Greg Sage, was there.
And oh, the Wipers, the drummer just passed away, sadly.
Sam
God,
Henry.
Great.
I got to meet Sam Henry.
Sam is a great guy, man. I met him. I used to see him every weekend.
Really? I thought his playing was beautiful.
At the bar at my father's place, yeah.
Because he moved from, he was drummer man in Wipers, but then he was playing bass with Napalm Beach or something.
Yeah, something like that. He was doing bass. I kind of didn't remember what the project was at that time.
You know, I asked him about Wipers when I met him. I said, what was it like to be in the Wipers? He said, well, rule number one about touring, no laughing in the van. I was like, oh, fuck.
Wow.
I know.
Jesus.
Yeah, and then rule number two was, I guess, Greg Sage was going to do all the driving. It was going to be 50 miles an hour. So, So now you know why, you know, the first three albums are great, but they're all different bands. The only main guy is Greg Sage.
That's some, like, spiritual chastity belt shit, man.
Okay. I want to play, you gave me a couple tunes with this collab, Mr. Matsumoto. Let's play Untitled 2.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Pedro Show started off that chunk. Sonnet Matsumoto, Untitled 2. Larry Bose, Southern Oregon, like Ashland or Medford or something like that. It's all curvy. I guess that's the highest point on I-5, Siskiyou Pass. That's another one in August. It could be snowed. Your Life mm-hmm. is only a Song, Larry Bose. And his buddy Ray Shim, Me and Your Shadow, I think. He's in Reno. What's Nevada, right? Banshee, again, Sonic Matsumoto. Tell me about this duo.
Yeah, that was when I was in, when I moved to Los Angeles in 2013. It's after my first divorce is when I kind of started coming out of the woodwork with, you know, really kind of finding myself and finding what I was going to do artistically. And so I moved to Los Angeles and I started hanging out with a lot of the people who were going to Cal Arts, and I met Kosaway, at Cal Arts, and then just started kind of working with her.
Okay. And, you know, who was that cat you were following when you moved to Portland? Because you didn't give me any...
Armand Bond.
Yeah, because you didn't give me any recordings with him. So I'm wondering, did you guys ever record?
Yeah, we recorded, but I couldn't find anything at the moment to put onto the... It was just, I kind of lose stuff so easily. So there was some recordings, but I couldn't find them.
That's one good thing about records, you know. I used to, when Minutemen days, it was always, they were kind of like flyers for gigs. But then after, as time went on, I was like, you know what? These motherfuckers are kind of documents. They're not just flyers for gigs.
But I was a different person at that time.
Yeah,
I was,
well, same
I
with
really
me.
Did yeah. do a complete identity shift after my divorce, and I was a different person. And so it's really hard to kind of go into the past.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Actually, I have a hard time with, my years in Fire Hose because they were so rough for me.
So Fire Hose.
Yeah, it was right after Minutemen, right? It was in D. Boone, and Edward helped me out. Georgie was there playing with me another 7 years. But when I don't like thinking back to those days, not because of them, but because it was hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, so even though it was Minutemen, yeah, it was hard to lose that, but it's just different. It's just different. I can understand what you mean. So, did you go to CalArts?
Same thing, gleaning off
the
students.
Yeah, their resources.
Just like learning. I used to go to their performances, when they do their senior thesis and they would have their chamber pieces, you know, I was very close to a friend named Jordan Dykstra. And I would go visit him in Belverde, and we would go, you know, I would just see all these amazing shows.
Well, you know, that's on the way to Grapevine. It's by Magic Mountain. So were you living up there?
I was living in Koreatown at that time.
Whoa, so that's kind of a drive. Okay, a little bit. Not as bad as Pedro. Tom Watson.
I missed that place.
Tom Watson for a semester lived in a Volkswagen bus in the parking lot of CalArts. He went there for a semester as a younger man.
That's right. Holy shit, I don't know why that sounds so familiar.
And then, well, I've been playing with him over 20 years, and he was in Slovenly before that, so he's a band that actually the Minutemen put out on Alliance Records. You know, also, the trumpet man, Leo Wada Smith, Honda, and I mean, there's a bunch of music people that came out of CalArts and stuff. It's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Also some, rock people, that band from Minneapolis, the Suburbs, those guys went there and stuff. They were a connect.
Yeah, James Tenney taught there. James Tenney,
a
legend.
Incredible. And Valencia, right? Or is it
Valencia? Yeah, Valencia.
Yeah, Valencia, yeah. That's the name of the town.
Those hills are just beautiful. Mm-hmm. Jesus.
And like I said, you know, and right by there, I was saying the Grapevine, right? I-5. It actually switches over from where the north side is on the port side for just a little bit. And then it switches back over because I guess they were designing the lay of the land. But
I really think that whole area, Belverde, Los Angeles, I don't care what you want to call it. It is one of the most beautiful areas in the world. I still think so in this day. There you will never find light of that quality and demeanor there. It is just, it's timeless. It's timeless.
You can see where they're trying to put in track homes. Can you believe it? Because they make suburbs out of that shit. Yeah, because it tears it all off, you know. In old Italy, it'd be like for vineyards, but this is for like track homes.
Totally.
Yeah. Life's kind of trippy like that. but you kind of had a good moment, but you didn't stay.
I did. No, I didn't stay. I had to go back.
We're going to get to that, but we ran out of time because we're at the end of the second hour, November 16, 2022 edition, Wap Pedro Show Special. Guest Casper Sonnet. Hold tight for hour three. November 16, 2022. It's the third hour of the Watford Pedro Show. Thank you. Pedro Show start off the third hour with Murray Sonnet Wesley and a tune called Chonk. It's clicking over the Skype there. Rubber O Cement, this is East Bay with the brutal sound effects crew. Algia Capes issued ceremony, period. And finally, Casper Sonnet with Bones to Cut Skin With. Tell me about this trio.
Yeah, this is about the time, like, when I moved back to Portland, and after my divorce, I started writing songs and doing all of that, and then I kind of left, and then I started gravitating towards my roots, which has been free improvisation and jazz and contemporary classical music. And then I got into lap steel guitar, and so with this trio, it was kind of like marking, you know, really being in, you know, really, really finding myself. And I was playing electric lap steel. Drew Wisley was playing lap guitar, prepared lap guitar, and Kevin Murray is a drummer. They're both from New York City, and so he was playing a bass drum on the floor, 32-inch concert bass drum on the floor with various objects.
Well, on the floor, so, but you're probably saying...
Yeah, on the floor.
Yeah, but it's on the floor usually, but you're probably saying it was oriented with the skins pointing towards the overhead and the deck instead of bulkheads.
Yeah, it was literally just on the floor on like yoga blocks with a bunch of crap on it.
Like a floor tom without legs.
Yeah, basically like a floor tom, yeah. and coincidentally, I just converted that drum into a floor tom, and I've been practicing percussion myself.
You know, we didn't talk about Adrian Snyder, so don't totally leave my mind. What was that duet about?
That's a project with him called Fluvia Supper.
Yeah.
And it's just basically me paying homage to a lot of my favorite, war metal, death metal bands like Pissgrave and Human Effluence and Macerated Stillbirth. I just kind of wanted to kind of like gather that really intense visceral energy of metal and put it into an improvisational realm. And it's very similar to what John was doing, John Zorn.
And why Adrian? What was your connect with him?
Because of his goddamn kick foot. His kick foot, man, just brutal. And he
you know who's got a good kick? You know that kind of music who's got a great kick? Is fucking Lombardo. Tom.
Oh, hell yeah.
Dave Lombardo.
Dave Lombardo. Hell yeah. I saw him play.
He plays so relaxed, but he can beat the fuck out of
him. He does.
Oh, my God.
He does. He's a freak. Like, in Painkiller, especially Execution Ground, I could, like, play the drum beats right now, at least from certain segments of that record.
So, okay, you get back to Portland, and now you say you're feeling free jazz, but you get into lap steel. I don't know a lot of lap steel dudes doing free jazz.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it happened, and I don't know, man. Just something, some sort of voice took over, and I've just been kind of like gravitated because I just love keyboard, and I love having. I think the lap steel kind of takes in the saxophone, it takes in the keyboard, it takes in the drums. It's an instrument that allows me to make so many sounds, and I've seen a lot of people play prepared lap guitar. Like one of my hugest heroes is Zach Durup. He's from Philly.
Yeah.
And just shredders, and just I love noise.
Yeah, and the legato thing, right? As long as you hold that. What do you use? Glass or metal?
I use sometimes I weave. I kind of like make custom metal implements for my lap steel. If you look at me play, it looks like I have, like, surgery tools next to me, these shiny, beautiful, weird metal devices that I've sculpted and changed and done things with. I use a violin bow sometimes.
For
the lap steel, yeah. I'll weave metal.
Oh, for that side. Okay.
Yeah. So basically, I'm just smashing shit into my pickup. Like, I'm a lap steel player, dude, and I have a fucking D'Addario Invader. Like, that's my pickup, bro. Like, I use an Invader. You know what I mean? Like, that's my pickup, man.
Oh, totally overwhelmed.
Fuck the other pickup.
Okay.
It's all like Megadeth Metallica shit.
who's this Joel Nelson cat?
Joel Nelson is a guy who studied with Fred Frith and Zena Parkins. He studied at Mills. He just moved here to Portland from Alabama. Okay. He did his thesis on LaDonna Smith and Davey Williams. He's a fucking really nice dude.
Okay. Mills College. That almost closed. They kept it
open.
It
did.
Yeah, thank God. Let's listen to Tune In Tokyo.
Thank you. Thank you. That's it.
Watt for Pedro Show. Last music for this edition. Starting to chunk off, Tone in Tokyo, Joe Nelson, Casper Sonic. Then we had Tollum with the Sicilian Improvisers Orchestra. Something live called, well, it's the first part of two parts. Next episode tomorrow, we'll hear the other. Omni-le-iomatic. Trippy word. Part one of two. And then finally, Grust One. And this has got Aaron Gooney and Casper Sun.
Good day.
Good day, French. Sorry, pardon. So, enlighten us.
So around that time, like with Grust and with Joel and all these projects, at that time I was starting to host a series called Discordance that was kind of putting together free improvisation and harsh noise together on bills and various venues. Grust was a project I did with Aaron, and Aaron is a noise artist who lives here in Portland. He's kind of an up-and-coming talent, I think, who's really trying to really express some new avenues of those sounds. Usually from Jeff German, he's also a noise legend.
And what are the main pads that you say you put on bills?
I'm sorry, what was that question?
Like every time now, I'm a touring act and stuff, but the last couple of times I've been in Portland, I played Mississippi Studios, Mississippi Nights.
Oh, you're talking about places to play, like venues?
Yeah. I'm wondering.
I would have them at a church. I had them at St. Philip Neri at this Catholic church, and I would have people come upstairs to this crazy old, dilapidated, haunted church.
Yeah.
And I had the most epic fucking shows that this town has had in years.
Wow, and no problems with the square people.
No, it was problems. There was problems. There was. I got kicked out.
Okay. Sorry about that. Where can people Casper, where can we find you on the internet? Do you have a website?
Yeah, I do. If you want to find out, you can find Casper Sonnet at my Bandcamp, but also, most importantly, my record label, which is called AndromachyRecords.com.
Spell
so if you look up Andromache Records there, and that should
Casper,
find me there.
Please spell that URL.
Andromache is A-N-D, sorry, it's A-N-D-R-O-M, as in Molly, A-C-H-E, Andromache, and then Records. It's my big cell site, and I do cassettes only, and I'm very anti-streaming.
Is that .com?
.com, yeah. Okay. It'll just take you to my big cartel
okay,
site.
Okay, great. I'm glad you didn't use that fucking media company as a euphemism for a search engine.
Yeah, I'm trying to get away from streaming platforms. I actually listen to cassettes in my car.
Cassettes. So have you gotten into recording with cassettes at home, like four tracks?
Yeah, I have a stack of Pioneers. I do all my own dubbing on my label. I do CDs, I really try to do mostly tape releases.
So are you familiar with the cassette movement in the 80s with Al Margolis?
A little bit, yeah. There was
I had him on the show, and I've gotten to collaborate him. And incredible, because it was a community within a community. I just love
it. It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm learning how to do that. I'm learning how to be a part of that community, by the way. But if things have gotten so exclusive now, people, I don't know, it's just a different time. I think in the 80s, everything was really, it was just a different time now than it was then.
Well, of course. It's like 40 years later.
But things are getting so much more exclusive, and people are just so divided. They're on their own little segment, little sections.
Oh, yeah.
For people to people to cross over, and people feel, it's just, maybe it's just my own imagination, but I just think it's not as open.
I think it's probably part of both, because you got your own world and then you're living within a world. And then that's populated with cats who have their own world. What do you got next planned next musically?
Basically just, I think I've got something going on with this guy named Lauren Chase. It's basically a lot of the stuff that I just sent you, like with Joel Nelson, they got a release, and then with Adrian Snyder, with our band, Fluvia Supper. I got something from Ben Glass that's coming. He's in Berlin right now.
Yeah.
Shane McDonald, who's a noise artist here in Portland, really releasing something from him in January.
Great, great. Well, look, when the invite's open, wherever you want back on the show and play your new music with whoever, your collabs or you yourself.
Oh, and something with Tom Gill, too.
I would love to hear you and Tom. I would love to hear you and Tom. Thank him for the connect. So, look, can't wait till you're back on the show, okay? Thank you, Casper.
All right, thank you, Tom.
It's Watt, but Tom, it's via Tom.
Thank you. Thank you. No, sorry, Mike. Thank you. Sorry, I'm fucking
big love. It's November 16, 2022 edition of Watt Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.